gospelradionetwork.org. We're glad to be with you today, wherever you may be. We recognize that the WWW stretches around the globe, and so I don't know on what ears I may be falling this morning, but wherever you are, thank you so much for being with us. We have regular listeners that text us and tell us that they are listening, and certainly send us emails afterwards, and so thank you so much for that and letting us know that you're out there. I know that my wonderful wife is listening. Love you very much. Hope you get to feeling better very soon. But she's my greatest cheerleader, and so I'm glad to have her along this morning. And another one of my great cheerleaders is my mother, listening over there in Brentwood, Tennessee today. They're expecting some pretty drastic weather over the weekend, I think Saturday night going into Sunday. So batten down the hatches, get ready for the weather, because it's a-coming. I don't know what we'll get here Saturday night or Sunday, but maybe just a little rain perhaps if we're lucky. But anyway, glad you guys are out there listening. My little buddy Michael, he listens on a regular basis, and so love you, man. Look forward to seeing you very soon. I know that the McClures listen up there in South Dakota, and very aptly called White South Dakota. It's white most of the year, I think, with snow and ice, man. But appreciate y'all listening. Know Jeff and Glenda listen on a regular basis out there in Southwest Virginia. And so y'all fight the good fight. Good to have you with us today. The Poes and their clan, they're listening all over the place, but over there in Alabama and maybe Florida. Glad to have the Poes along anytime we can. That goes into our category of first responders. Brother Poe and several others, they are indeed first responders that protect us on a regular basis, and so we're glad to have them listening. Many times on Fridays, Eric is on his way in from his last shift, and so he tunes us in as he drives. So keep your hands on the wheel, brother. Be safe, and see you Sunday. But glad to have all you first responders out there listening and protecting us. We're grateful for your listenership and what you do to keep us safe. We love you guys. So keep up the good work. Lots of folks listening here in the Texas area. We know that a lot of the homeschool families choose various programs here on TGRN to perform their daily devotional work. And so if you happen to be listening as a homeschooler today to the Gospel Radio Network, we love you. And we're sure grateful that you chose us. That's a pretty big deal, knowing all that's on the Gospel Radio Network. There's lots of programming that Brother David takes care of from over there in Calhoun, Tennessee. And so we appreciate the great Sudhoff family. Melody is with child, and so we send great prayers and blessings your way. But appreciate all you guys do and love y'all very much. The Smithies down here in what is that, officially Southwest Texas, I guess, the San Angelo area, they've got a big digital footprint down there as well. And so appreciate all you guys and what you do down there, even behind the scenes, and many times without thanks. So love you guys, and thank you. We have a few items that still remain on the bulletin board this morning. And so right off the top of the bat, I know that our ladies are looking forward to Saturday morning, because at 10 o'clock they're going to be kicking off their Young Ladies Day, which they have entitled Girl Meets World. And many of our great ladies here are doing the speaking, the teaching. We've got Breely and Madeline and Geraldine and Anthea doing the teaching on the young ladies' side. And obviously, for the ladies that are beyond the 12th grade, as it were, you know, college age and up, we have classes for you as well. So make sure and come on and enjoy the great day that is going to have a lunch in there as well. There's lots of preparation has taken place already. I've been seeing things being prepared even as we speak. So looking forward to the weekend. It's going to be awesome. So Girl Meets World, that's going to be 10 o'clock this Saturday beginning. Had several calls here about folks that are RSVPing, and so that's it's going to be a pretty big deal. So appreciate our ladies for putting that on. Also, we have a flyer here for the gospel meeting that's going on right down the road in Pattonville. So the brethren up there have invited Todd Creighton in. And he is a great evangelist in his own right. He serves as an elder and the minister of the Frisco Church Christ. And he is very active in world missions. And so they have invited him to come in and speak on training right for service. And so up at Pattonville, there are times of service, even beginning January 16th for this meeting, are 9:30, 10:30, and 1:30. But if you are like me and you have somewhere else to be on Sunday morning, they invite you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday there at the Pattonville Church of Christ to come out at 7 o'clock. And there is a note here that they will start at 6:30. For singing. So if you'd like to come a little early and sing a little bit, then they've invited you to be there as early as 6:30 there at the Pattonville Church of Christ, starting January the 16th, ending Wednesday the 19th. Also, right around the corner is our Make Me a Servant workshop. And we are just excited to have the opportunity, of course, Lord willing, to put on this event every single year. And this year we have invited in Carl McCann, Tavares Armstrong, and Scott Dukowski on the men's side to come in and speak to us. Carl comes from Fruitvale. Tavares comes to us from the Marshall area. And Scott comes up from Grayston. And so we've invited them to come in and speak to us as it relates to Peace Be Still. Of our own midst, we have invited Annette McElyea, one of our great elders' wives, and Kay Majors, one of our great deacons' wives, to address the ladies in a separate class during the day. Annette will be speaking downstairs before lunch, and then Kay will be speaking downstairs after the lunch hour. Then on Sunday, as we normally do, kind of stretch this idea of our workshop into Sunday, even at particular Friends Day, we have invited Aaron Anderson from the Home of Recovery to come in and speak to us. And so he will have class that morning. And one of our own, Jared Hammond, is traveling in from school there in Bedford, so that he can address us during the worship hour as it relates to the God of Peace. Then that afternoon, after lunch, when we have our sing-out, Brother Jeff Watley is coming over, certainly to be a part of the sing-out and the lunch. Jeff will be the first one to tell you he loves to eat, and so do I. So we'll be mounting the silverware and the plates pretty early on. But Jeff will come over for that particular 1:30 hour and address us and kind of wrap things up, even discussing the peace that passes all understanding. And so that's coming up on February the 5th, and we look forward to that, February the 5th and 6th, that is, running into that Sunday. So Peace Be Still, the whatever, 400th annual Make Me a Servant workshop here at Mount Vernon, Texas. We'd love to have you. Again, we'll have lunch that day again, as we always do. I think the sign-up sheet upstairs has everything to do with crock-pot meals, so there'll be all kinds of chilies and stews and things of that nature for everybody that afternoon. All right, last but not least, dun-dun-dun! The 12th annual gospel singing that the DeKalb congregation is advertising is going to be February the 25th between 7 and 9:30. And it says refreshments will be provided. So the DeKalb Church Christ, you know where it is, up there on Highway 82, DeKalb, Texas. They have invited us to their annual singing, which is in February. February 25th at 7 p.m. So that completes the bulletin board. As we kind of scoot into the text, please allow me to remind you of those folks that we have been regularly praying for. We continue to pray for Deanna De Leon down there in the New Waverly, Texas area, as she continues to heal from this horrible car accident. Our own great sister, Tammy Hudson. She has been conducting Bible studies with her as she goes through this rehab, and we're certainly proud of that. Tammy's a great soldier of the cross. Also, we would ask for you to remember Jim Emery. Certainly Jim and Timmy and Terry, blah, 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 Andy and all of them as they go through this process of grieving. Jim's brother died yesterday of COVID, and it's a very sad time for all of them, so please remember them in your prayers, not only for the grieving, but whenever they get turned around and headed back this way. You know, it's, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours worth of driving, so pray for safe travel. That would be very greatly appreciated. Also, continue to remember the Reynolds, Tom and Debbie. They are racked with physical issues at the moment. Tom is still kind of unofficially mending from his last stroke, and so he's doing outpatient therapy. And Debbie fell this last Saturday and thought that she had broken her hip, but it was just such a horrible groin pull, I think the doctor said, that it felt like a broken hip. And so she's been down. Kids have been in trying to help her move around and get situated. And so continue praying for them, certainly. Also, a family that is kind of comes to us from our past here at Mount Vernon, the Fowler family, lost a child the other day, son. And I believe we've concluded that it was suicide, and so you can imagine that the family is just wrought with anguish and such dread at facing the days ahead. So anyway, pray for them and all those that are on our hearts and minds. Pray for the great works that are going on here, like TGRN, the Home of Recovery. They've got two new residents that have just come to them, and they're doing a phenomenal work. Aaron is an amazing young man, and he's got good help behind him, like our good friend Michael. He's there as a great backup help and aid and, as he would tell you, counselor. But anyway, they're doing a great work down there. Camp Ida continues to do a phenomenal work. The jail ministry got a message yesterday that one of the ladies there is interested in being immersed. So we're going to have the opportunity to speak to her forthwith. But anyway, lots of things going on, lots of activities, and we could probably talk some more, but it's already 15 after the hour, and we've not yet started our text, and so apologize for that. I'm usually kind of chatty on Friday mornings. But we're glad to have you here, glad to have you listening, because without you, there is no network. And so thank you very much for being a part of the Gospel Radio Network. And please, if you think that it's worthy, then tell someone about the Gospel Radio Network today. We'd really appreciate that. Beyond that, before we get into Matthew chapter 10, you know what we got to do, right? That's it. I see you reaching for that cup. So we'll take this drink of coffee together, and then we'll jump off into our text. Ready? The styrofoam cup just doesn't do it justice. I've got a big mug at home that, I don't know, it seems like it tastes better. But love the coffee. Our brother David Bankston would disagree with you. He hates coffee, but I love it, man. I love me some coffee. So anyway, just rambling at this point. In Matthew chapter 10, we are blessed to have the opportunity, even as the new year continues, to continue walking through the 28 chapters of Matthew. And so hopefully by 2024 we'll be done with the book. We're on no time schedule here, and just given one day a week, you know, at 1 hour, and as I talk 45 minutes, it is going to be a slow study. But as we get into Matthew chapter 10 today, obviously the first thing that we fall into is the list of the great 12 that Jesus has chosen. And so anyway, let's begin at the top, and let's do the first four verses, shall we? And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, Matthew the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So here we look, and we find that we have great continuity here with the statements which the previous chapter, you know, closed with. And so Jesus lamented there over the frightful condition into which the sheep of Israel had plunged themselves. And so then he did something about it by sending the 12 out to announce the coming kingdom and to call Israel to repentance. Over again, we see this great message going forth. We see John the Baptizer mentioning this. We see Jesus himself mentioning this. And so how perfect it is for then the 12 to pick up this mantle and walk with it as well. So these 12, they are specific. They are disciples. But when you think about it, disciples is a term that refers to followers, learners. So in kind of a broad stroke, we could easily say that there was more than 12 disciples. Now, those that would ultimately be apostles, you know, and have this great ability given to them there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. That's a significant group of people there. But obviously, we're talking about virtually the same group. But we just mentioned, by way of Bible study, there were many disciples that followed him. Consider, if you will, Luke 6 and verse 13. Luke records, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. Now, if you heard that, of them, his disciples, he chose 12. Also, if you recall, when you look into the beginning of the book of Acts, there was a group of disciples, a great number of folks, from which they had the ability to choose two candidates that meet the criteria of apostle. And then they gave it ultimately to Jesus to make the decision. And certainly you remember that Matthias is the one that was chosen. So notice that disciples is a general term for learners, followers, lovers, as it were, of the Christ. And out of that group, the 12 were chosen. Out of that group, the two candidates of Acts 1 were chosen. And that leads to some dissension among the ranks of denominations regarding even the giving of the Holy Spirit. There is Acts 2 opens, because many of our denominational friends would insist that the number of the disciples being 120, as you see there plainly in the beginning of Acts, they would insist that that particular power, that particular ability, fell on all of the 120. But as we see in various points of light there in the book of Acts, it was the apostles only that had the ability to lay hands on. And so ultimately those 12, they were the only ones that were given that power, even as Acts 2 opens. Nevertheless, not to try to digress in our study, just remember that disciples is a term that means learner, one that is a follower. And it was of all of these many disciples. I might even go as far as suggesting that the 5,000 that were fed, the 4,000 that were fed, you might even think of them as disciples. Now, I know as well as you do that some of them were just there for the loaves and the fishes, right, as we say. But the majority of those people we could call disciples. So anyway, as you think about disciples, notice that these 12 particularly, these were selected early on in his ministry, you know. And so when we come to a passage like this and we see that they're going to be sent out even on this great commission, we refer to it quite often as the limited commission, because primarily, as we're going to understand, they were sent to the Jews only. And again, this goes to the point that is mentioned on so many opportunities, even in the book of Acts. As the gospel would go forth, who was the audience that was privileged to listen to the very first gospel sermon? Who was it? The Jews, right? Day of Pentecost. It was a feast day there in Jerusalem, and so it was the Jewish audience. And so, since they had been God's holy and select people for all these many years, they had what we might call, as kids, first dibs on obeying the gospel. And so as you see in passages like 13:46 of Acts, you'll see, since you have judged yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so, as you see Paul and Peter and others going out throughout the book of Acts, where do they go? They go wherever the ready-made audience is, and that's almost always into the synagogue, Saturday after Saturday after Saturday after Saturday, continuing to go to the synagogues and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that was the first audience. And so here it's certainly not surprising that the first audience, the first commission here that is given is to the Jews. And so this is why it's commonly referred to as the limited commission. This particular trip was for the Jews only. So the 12, as you remember, in verse number 1, they were given a miraculous power because, as you see, and I guess we'll come across it again and again throughout this study, but as you see in Mark 16 and verse 20, we find out that Jesus is working with them. So here, we can assume the very same thing. Jesus is working with them, though he's not in the same room with them, and they're out doing the work of spreading the gospel, the message that the kingdom is at hand. People need to repent. they would have the ability to prove and confirm that that was the message of God. It wasn't some snake oil salesman that was running the roads. This was the message of God. And so the purpose of the miraculous, the powers that they were given, verse number one, the power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all matter of sickness and all matter of disease, this was a power given to prove, to testify that they were chosen, selected individuals by God Almighty to preach this holy and upright message. And so the miracles, the power that they were given, was for the confirmation of that. So it confirmed the strength and the power of the word, and it also confirmed the messenger who was able to perform these great works. Now, as we got through verses 2 through 4, they're going to be called apostles, these individuals that would be the messengers. Apostle is basically messenger or one sent forth, as I understand it. And so, and again, I see this commercial. We watch a lot of the Louisiana channels living where we are. And there is a, I think it's called, man, somebody need to back me up. I think it's called the John 3:16 Church. But anyway, there's a gentleman that comes on there, and he freely identifies himself as Apostle such and such. I think I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to suggest that he is a messenger, you know, maybe a holy messenger, I guess. One sent. You know, at the end of Mark 16 and the end of Matthew 28, it is the case that Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, he was talking to, you know, those at hand. Even beyond Judas' betrayal, he would have been speaking initially to the 11. The 12th individual would be chosen there, as you remember in Acts chapter 1. But what we're talking about here ultimately is the Great Commission that we're all tasked with. So does that mean that we're all apostles? I would never call myself an apostle, pastor, reverend, anything like that. Now, you know, God, he is the only one that is holy and reverend. The elders, the bishops, the presbyters that we have, even working here, they can be known as pastors. So there's a certain time and a place for some of these titles, and apostle is not one of them. Apostle is something that was significant to these 12 men and these 12 men alone. And these 12 men were given incredible power that they could even lay hands on others and transfer a measure of power that God deemed necessary to help that great first century church. And so after the death of the last apostle, which we believe was John, there in Ephesus about the turn of the century or so, that power disappeared. Now, any of those that had their hands that were touched by the apostles that had particular powers, obviously those powers would continue within them, you know, until they died. But they did not have the ability to lay hands on anybody and pass on their qualities, those powers that were given by the apostles. So obviously, if you just sit and think about it, obviously the apostles are dead and gone, have been gone for nearly 2,000 years, and the powers that God selected to give through them have been gone for about the same amount of time. So it would be highly dangerous for me or anybody to refer to myself as apostle. Now, do I understand what it means? And maybe this young man is signifying himself as one that is sent. We're all sent, right? Especially those that have obeyed the gospel. We are individuals that are sent out to preach the gospel to others. Even one like this young man who calls himself an apostle, he needs the gospel too. He's kind of like a Cornelius, a reverend individual, a person that loves God. But Cornelius needed the gospel too. So anyway, I'm, you know, going off in a rabbit hole at this point. But these individuals, these were the ones that were being sent forth. These are ones that were given specific powers by God. And we see several that are sent on the way. I think of additional individuals like Silas, like Epaphroditus. I think about Barnabas. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was along, well, I'm going blank. I think it was about Acts 14. 14, is that? That was where Paul was stoned. Lystra, I'm trying to drag it in here. This is what happens when you get old. Acts 14, and so it would have been there that Paul and Barnabas were almost worshipped as Jupiter Mercurius. I believe it was in that same text that even the King James records that Paul and Barnabas as apostles. Well, Barnabas wasn't an apostle. You could say he was a disciple. He was an evangelist. He was many things. He was the great encourager. But he was not an apostle. So in that context, when you read the word apostle, again, it means one sent, one that is a messenger, right? One that has an ability. One that is, you might say, ambassador for Jesus Christ, right? But specifically, the apostles were those that were given powers. So anyway, not to continue to beat a dead horse, but anyway, there's others that have been sent forth. Again, we mentioned Matthias that was selected in Acts 1. He would fulfill the spot that Judas had vacated by killing himself. And then Paul would be chosen as one out of due season, as he refers to himself. You might even say the 13th apostle. But he was a young man that was selected for a particular work by God, and that is to teach the Gentiles. And that he did until the day he was taken home. So, to wrap it up, we are all disciples. You know, those of us that are learning, those of us that are following, that are studying, that are adding, that are growing, all of us, you know, as immersed children of God, are then, you know, kind of by default, disciples. And we should take that very seriously. But none of us are those ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're not those apostles. And we should maybe try to teach others that refer to themselves as apostles. But these individuals here that are mentioned, they appear in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then again in Acts. And there are some, well, definitely not contradictions, but there are some different names by which they are shown. I was trying to remember. I think it was Bartholomew. Bartholomew is a name that's only used, I think. Let's see. What was it? Bartholomew. No, it's not Bartholomew. I should have done my research before I got online. So we got Simon, Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, and Judas, the son of James. And then, of course, there's Judas Iscariot, but he's not mentioned in Acts chapter 1 because he killed himself. So anyway, there are the four gospel accounts. The three gospel accounts that have the names, and then the great history book opens with the names of them also. It's interesting to me anyway that Peter's listed first in each of the passages, but it can't be because he was superior to the others. I mean, they were all equal, right? I mean, they were all equal. It's like the picture that was shown where Jesus made himself equal to God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They work on an even plane. He didn't have any more power, that is Peter. He didn't have any more power and authority than the other apostles, you know. On the day of Pentecost, when they stood up and taught, his sermon is recorded in Acts chapter 2, but you remember that he and the other apostles stood up and taught. They were all teaching. And, you know, verbatim, probably the very same message. And I don't know what that looked like. And here's my thought process. How many people were in Jerusalem that day? You know, you got the three feasts that the men, not excluding women, but the men anyway, had to attend every year. They had to make that pilgrimage from wherever. And so as you see the opening of Acts chapter 2, you see all those, 15 or 20 nations that are represented there from which they had traveled. You think about chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, the convert there that had driven from Ethiopia a long way to come and worship. So how many people were in Jerusalem? 1,000? Probably more than that. 10,000? Probably more than that. So if we were to say 100,000, and I don't know if that's correct or not, too high, too low, I don't know, it could have been 1,000,000. How does that mean people hear the gospel message? Miraculous ability was the way that they were able to understand it. But I believe what we've got here, even on the day of Pentecost, you've got these 12 with miraculous abilities speaking throughout the crowd. And Peter was the one that had his recorded here in Acts chapter 2. But all of them were preaching the same message. That is that which the Holy Spirit gave them to teach. So they were all speaking. So none of them was more superior to the others. Now, there were three that were fairly close to Jesus, and you see that over and again, James and John and Peter. We can't say that they were favorites of Jesus because that would make Jesus a respecter of persons. But they were those that appeared in several different places, like the Mount of Transfiguration, that moment in time there in Gethsemane, when Jesus said, "Wait here and pray as I go yonder and pray to the Father." So several times you see that, but it doesn't mean that they had more power, more authority. They had more of a ranking, you know, in the list of apostles. But it is curious anyway, as the Holy Spirit has chosen to mention Peter first in all of these lists. Now, Matthew and Mark, they both list Thaddeus, while Luke, in his two lists, that is, in the book of Luke and the book of Acts, in his two accounts, has Judas, the son of James, Thaddeus, also called Levius, as you look back into the book of Matthew, likely the same as this particular Judas. So these little moments in time, when you go back and look and you compare the list side by side, it's not contradiction. It's simply the way that it is mentioned. And zealot, as you see about Simon, translated into Greek, you know, we're looking at this idea of the zealot party of Galilee. And so as you see Alexander the coppersmith, as you see Saul of Tarsus, as you see Simon the sorcerer, John the baptizer, these are not last names, they're identifiers. And so we see that in these lists as well. Anyway, you think about this one list, or the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that has Judas Iscariot. Iscariot designates Judas by his former place of residence, right? It means a man of Kirioth, which is a town in the tribe of Judah. So you could have said Judas from Judah, but this Iscariot was something particular to his home residence. Matthew, the publican, obviously has to do with the period that he was collecting taxes. Matthew the publican, Matthew the tax collector. Bartholomew, in all four lists. But many times we think that, like places like John 1 and John 21, we think that maybe that's Nathaniel. And so there are many scholars that think that Nathaniel and Bartholomew are the same. But anyway, that's another study for another day. Getting into verse number 5, we still got 20 minutes. We're doing great. Verse number 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That reminds me, and we all have our little default buttons or whatever, but I think about the passages like Luke 19:10, when Jesus is speaking to Zacchaeus, and he says, "The Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which was lost." As we see in this particular passage, and as we see in that passage of Luke 19, he was talking about the Jews. He's come to seek and to save this group of sheep that has wandered away, right? And so this is the commission that we were just talking about, going to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people. And so he tells them specifically where to go and where not to go. And friends, that's much like the entirety of the Bible, isn't it? I mean, from day one, it seems like that's what we read page after page, where to go and where not to go. And you can think about manner of life. You can think about destinies. We are expected to go to heaven. God is preparing a place for us now as we speak. That was Jesus' message in John 14. And so we are supposed to be going to heaven. And we're not supposed to be going to hell. So lots of parallel thoughts that we can join. But again, here he's told them what to do and what not to do, where to go, where not to go. And that's because of his will. You know, as you look back into the great history book, you see at one point before Paul reaches Troas that he was headed over into Asia and Bithynia. He had his mind to go plant churches all over the region. But at least two different passages show us that the Spirit forbade him from going there. Why is that? Because the Spirit had a boat waiting on him in Troas. The Spirit had a mission for him there in the Macedonian region. That's how we got so many wonderful churches like in Philippi and great churches, you know, that we read about like the Thessalonians. With what a great privilege it is to notice the will of the Father. And so here, the will of the Father is that the Jews receive this message of the coming kingdom, and they needed to repent. Repent or perish, Luke 13:3-5. So, yes, it was limited to the Jews, but sometime later, even certainly in Acts 10 with Peter, and sometime later with Paul, as Paul would spend the remainder of his days upon the earth preaching to the Gentiles. Ultimately, it would go to the Gentiles. And as I tell so many students on a regular basis, aren't you glad? I'm a Gentile. So I'm glad that God has been mindful of me. Even the chosen people of God wouldn't receive this message in a kind fashion. Do you remember those places? You know, I think, you know, first and foremost, I remember that Paul, as we said earlier, I believe 14 of Acts, where he was stoned for preaching the gospel by the Jews, ultimately. The Jews followed him from town to town and tried to create riots to where they would be harmed in some fashion, even killed or supposing to be killed. I think about the end of Acts 7. the end of Acts 7, where Stephen, the great gospel preacher there, preached basically the same lesson that you see in Acts 2 and was killed for it. Killed for it. Preaching the gospel. So there was those that believed and those that didn't believe. We've seen that in chapter 17 at the jail just this last week. You know, once the resurrection is mentioned, those that don't believe in the resurrection, they start to turn away and doubt and cause problems. But others would beg of Paul and his company to stay a couple more weeks, continue to teach them about the gospel. But that's the way the gospel falls. You know, and you think about the great parable, about the sower. There's different soils, there's different hearts upon which the gospel falls. Some, you know, like the great Bereans, who accepted it with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, 17:11 of Acts. Not everybody's like that. Some people need time to maybe fall into a ditch and be reminded that God can get them out of that ditch. Some people accept it readily. Some people have preconceived notions or ideas. And so as you think about the different soils, the wayside, the rocky, the thorny, and the good, you know, the introspective thought is, which soil are you? Because we're all a type of soil. We all have a type of heart. Hope it's a receptive one. So anyway, getting into verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he gives them the essence of their message. You know, just as ultimately people like Micaiah, Jonah. Remember, Jonah was given what we see recorded there in his book is 8 words. Now, I wouldn't disagree with the scriptures and say, oh, he preached more than 8 words. The scripture says that he preached 8 words. But could he have mentioned along the way the experience he had with the whale? The whale. The fish. The great fish. Perhaps a whale, yes. But the great fish. Could he have mentioned that? Sure. Scripture doesn't say that he did. But he was given the essence of the message, at least, we could say there. And same thing here. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And while you're there, verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And so, this is one of those areas where maybe I overthink things, but some of these opportunities that we see throughout the year to go and listen to the gospel being preached, you shouldn't have to buy a ticket. You shouldn't have to pay an admission price to hear gospel preaching. You got to pay for the auditorium. You got to pay for the lights and the gas. You got to pay for the speakers to come. Well, the churches should donate. Isn't that the purpose of 16:2 of Corinthian letter on the first day of the week? Nobody should have to pay or buy a ticket to listen to the gospel. I have a problem with that. And obviously it's a personal problem. When we have, in May, Don Blackwell come here from way up in Cookeville, Tennessee, it's going to cost a lot of money to have him here. But we're not going to charge admission. We're not going to make you buy a ticket in advance so that you can have a seat in our auditorium. If we start to see the pews are filling up, you know what we do? We go downstairs and we get some metal chairs and put them out in aisles. We're not. But anyway, that's a soapbox moment, and I probably shouldn't go down that aisle. But But please notice that they had a message, and it was to be given freely, as are the gifts that they were given freely. He gave them the ability to do these things. And so don't have that Simon the Sorcerer moment, you know, when you're thinking more about the money than the power. And so freely you have received, freely give. That's the way we operate. We offer the gospel of Jesus Christ to all that are oppressed, all that are sick. That is sin sick. The world is sin sick. Brethren, we live in a society where girls are being told that they can be guys if they want to. We're being told that, folks can have babies and not be married. We're telling folks they can have babies and not even have intercourse, all kinds of magical fairy dust being thrown around out there as it relates to the family of God. You can go on whatever bathroom you want to. If you identify as a dinosaur today, then let it be. You are a dinosaur. Poof. My friends, we are living among perverse people that need the gospel message. Remember, Jesus said, they that are sick need a physician. And so we have that great balm of Gilead, and we need to be the ones that are out there as the watchmen, warning others about this impending day of doom. I wrote an email some years ago in a different context, and we won't go into all that. But I got a visit, from an authority. It told me I need to watch my terroristic threats. I said, is 2 Corinthians 5:10 a terroristic threat? All will go before the judgment bar. All are going to face the Creator, Ecclesiastes 12:14. Anyway, it is what it is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, remember that in 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. Here we have this time statement, this time stamp. At hand is close. That's how the book of Revelation opens, right? At hand. Close. Remember Jesus in Mark 9:1. There be some of you standing here which shall not taste of death until they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. What do you get out of that? Well, some of the people standing here are not going to die. You're still going to be alive. Now, the average generational timestamp is, 40 years. Now, obviously, we live twice that long, if God allows. Unless you're like my grandmother, she's 100 already. But generational timestamps are about 40 years. Longevity is about 80, 85, give or take, of most of society. And so when we see at hand, it's something that is close by. With Jesus and his teaching, we are many times a year or less away from the announcements that he is mentioning. There is a very short span of time that is mentioned there in Mark 9:1. There is a short manner of time here as the 10 are being sent out. If we mention that this was at the beginning of Jesus' three and a half year ministry, then that's what it was. Three and a half years until the kingdom of God comes on that great day of Pentecost that we see there in Acts chapter 2. So it's something that is at hand. It is near, right? Book of Revelation, written somewhere around 95 or 96, give or take, A.D., those things that shall shortly come to pass, those things that are at hand, several years, perhaps. And so what we understand is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right around the corner. There be some of you standing here which shall not taste of death until you see the kingdom of God come with power. It's close by. Be looking for it. That which the scriptures has testified of, right? Daniel 2:44. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4. Joel 2, beginning at about verse 36 or 7. You know, what we're talking about is those things that have been prophesied, right? Some 4,000 years. It was from Genesis 3:15 to Golgotha. But it came. God always keeps his promises. And so the time is at hand. An urgent message. All of God's message is urgent, and we should always respect it as such. Well, I'm about out of time, as the case is. We're all given the same 24 hours in a day, unless God brings us home. But hopefully you have enjoyed the hour or so that we have spent together today. I've appreciated this time. I look forward to it every Friday. And so love sharing the gospel. And I hope you've enjoyed your time here. Thank you so much for listening today to the Gospel Radio Network and our study of Matthew chapter 10. And if the Lord allows, we'll continue this great study even next Friday at the 9 o'clock hour. So we look to have you here then. But again, remember, you don't have to turn the Gospel Radio Network off right now. Kids today, I mean, they're running around with these earbuds in their ears and they listen to stuff all day long. Keep this on. You know, you got some great guys like Richard Massey and John McCormack and, man, you know, our brother Chris McElyea, Wade Webster. There's all kinds of great teaching that is on this network. So stay tuned. Keep it on all day. And again, as we mentioned, if you have the opportunity, if you think of it, tell someone about the Gospel Radio Network today. Remind them that we're on and we are proclaiming the gospel around the world. So have a good rest of the weekend, as I guess today kicks off the weekend. And if you're in the belt up north of us, it's going to be receiving snow beginning Saturday night. Y'all be careful. Go ahead and get your groceries now. Get that milk and bread done now so that you can stay in for the furtherance of the storm. But y'all stay safe. And remember that here in Mount Vernon, Texas, we love you and we love the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And we're glad that we've had this time together. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Love you guys.